On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
This is Audio Whiplash on the Tall Can Audio Network. On Twitter at Tall Can Audio or at facebook.com/tallcanaudio.
How's it going, everybody? Audio Whiplash back on the Tall Can Audio Podcast Network. Rob's over there.
Yeah, just trying to turn your volume down.
No, you will never turn me down, man. I get turned down a lot. What's happening, man? It's been quite a while since we've had one of these Audio Whiplash type shows.
We've been busy. We've been around. We've been doing things.
Yeah. Yeah, not really, but...
Lining up at Tim Hortons and the like.
What are you thinking of the current selection in the Tall Can Audio keg fridge? I know you just cracked a can there, but we were into it out in the green room.
I have the can as well as
a pint.
As the pint.
That's two fists in it. Nice.
Of the Vimy Stout, right? Is that what this is?
Yeah, it is. It's the stout from Vimy Brewing Company.
I believe it's my third, maybe fourth since
I've been
here. Yeah,
they go down pretty nice, man.
And honestly, it's like water.
Except good water.
Well, this is it. To me, it's very smooth, highly drinkable.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely enjoying it as well. It comes in... So there's three different types of kegs for people who don't know. There's 20-liter, 30-liter, and I don't know, 50-liter, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so normally, we grab just the 20-liter for around here. That's plenty for...
The savages that roll around this place.
But Vimy doesn't do that. They only come with the 30s, as small as they go. So a little extra work to get done here over the couple of weeks that this one's going to last.
Well, I think I've taken down 2 liters while I was here.
Atta boy, man. Appreciate it.
I'm doing my bit to keep shit fresh. Which I do everywhere, right?
Yeah.
Keep it fresh, man.
Is there anything new, anything noteworthy that we need to know about that's going on in the world of Rob right now or...
You know what?
Normally you're angry at somebody when you roll in here.
Yeah, see, we had a long enough buffer in between getting on air and I'm actually feeling...
Pretty calm, eh?
Fairly beard scratching calm, yeah. It's no big thing.
All right.
What about you?
I've always got people I'm annoyed at. But this leads me into the first thing I wanted to ask you about, because it was fascinating to see on Twitter today. Someone just put out... What is something that's really no big deal, it's not important at all, that most people are in favor of, but that drives you crazy? And I have a long list of these. But the first thing that came to mind to me, man, Bruno Mars. Shut up, Bruno Mars. And shut up, Bruno Mars fans. Your high-pitched, annoying bullshit voice with a number one hit every 3 months. Although not seemingly...
Recently.
Yeah, but for quite a while. And I don't know. Everyone loves Bruno Mars except me. And I can't stand.
Yeah, I don't love Bruno Mars, but I also don't...
He grates on me like...
He doesn't move the meter in any one way or the other.
Yeah.
That's weird, man.
Like other people were putting down like coffee. Like, and that's on my list too. Like I hate coffee, but
who
everybody else
coffee?
Loves...
Fuck people, whoever you are.
Me.
Okay.
I just said. Yeah.
including you, apparently.
Yeah. And that's fine. Like, again, though, it's like, it's not a big thing. It's not a big deal. Like, it's nothing important, but most people love it. I
love it, man.
I got no time for it. I'm certainly not going to sit in my car in the middle of an intersection because the shitty Tim Hortons drive-thru is backed up for whatever. I'm not going to Starbucks to pay $9 for it for a venti whatever.
Hey, it's venti.
Yeah, I know. I kind of stumbled over my own. I'm getting all worked up.
I do love a pink rose blossoming tea latte.
I thought you were going somewhere else and I was going with you, but... No.
What were you thinking?
Yeah, let's just carry right on.
A blossoming rose tea latte.
Yeah.
It's
no.
Fucking nice, man.
It's just and people
yeah, I had a great Cuban sandwich at Starbucks the other day too.
No, you didn't.
I certainly did.
No. You had a Cuban sandwich. You did not have a great
Cuban It was outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
With the little pickle in there too. Honest to God, it was fantastic.
I got to tell you, man.
Don't judge.
No, that's happening. I'm doing that.
All right. You're wearing a sleeveless t-shirt. Don't fucking judge.
I'm not, but I will.
Yeah, you may before the end of the show.
Somebody put down massages. Don't touch me. Doesn't feel good. Just go away. Like most people love.
Wow. Okay. What's the problem? I've never gone for a massage, and I do have an issue with people touching me. So that is 100% true, but... If I was going for a massage...
But you understand, yeah, that most of the world loves that idea.
Yeah, okay. I don't like people touching me.
Yeah.
Don't come over here and touch me right now.
Where do you stand on a hug?
Oh, I am a hugger from way
right.
back.
Right, so what the fuck... And I get it's not somebody rubbing you down, but that someone's touching you. And you See, go in for the hug. You are a hugger.
I do. I am no, a hugger, but never, I come from a long line of huggers.
Never me, but...
And I do with gusto.
Yeah. No, you're all in on the hug.
Nobody who's ever got a hug from me hasn't said, fuck, that's a fantastic hug.
Has anyone said that? They may have felt it. It's a weird thing to say.
Yeah, okay. They're saying it inside, and I can tell with their body, right? It's a full on. The ladies come for the hug.
Right.
I'm like, no, I don't want to hug you. Yeah, come on. Where's the love? Happens all the time, man.
Okay. But it's touching.
Now, you know what's... On a related,
yeah.
What's happened with the whole guy handshake, shoulder to shoulder kind of pat on the back, half hug thing that yeah. seems to, I don't know.
Well, that's been around for a while.
For sure it has, but I'm just saying it's like it's become totally, that's it, we're good. This is going to happen every time.
Yeah, I've only got...
Is that because we don't want to, you know, you don't want to run the risk of bumping cocks or what's happening there? You got to just sort of...
I think you're shaking hands wrong.
No, the hug. I'm talking with the hug. If it's two guys hugging.
Right. Yeah, I think it's supposed to be a little less feminine. That's not the right word, but it's...
Yeah.
I've got a buddy who's big into
sexual.
It. Every time I see... Now, when we were hanging out together all the time, never. Right, but if it's been months, and like in a time where you might
for
hug
sure,
somebody,
well, yeah,
then he goes in for it, and I know it's coming, and I'm good with it. I got no problem with that. I think
it's we're doing this.
I've got though a buddy, I guess I would call him a buddy of my dad's. He's an old retired guy. Well, he's not retired. He should be retired, but he wants the cool handshake. Like, he's going to come in for the handshake, and then he's going to switch around. You're going, like, thumb to thumb,
and then
like,
yeah.
you're pulling back, and you're like, what are you doing? First, we're both white guys that aren't cool enough for this, and you are way too old for this, even if I'm not, which I probably am, right? Like, and it's always him that instigates it, and it's weird.
And does he say, it's the cat's pajamas?
He does not.
Okay.
Would that make it better for you somehow?
Well, at least, you know, is he wearing a zoot suit? Is any of that happening?
He's not wearing a shirt.
Yes, and we're in a gay bathhouse.
I don't know what happens at his end of the lake, man. I don't get into that, but...
Yeah, you do.
It's weird, man. It's weird. Don't be hitting me with the homeboy handshake when you're into your 60s. And put a shirt on.
Is he hitting you with any, you know, gang hand signs? Any kind of...
No.
Okay. All right.
Not so much.
We're leaving and he's on the end of the dock giving you the...
Yeah, yeah, no, that's not happening.
Okay.
He's a good guy. He's a good guy, but he needs to stop it. Right. So if you're listening,
and
stop it.
Put a shirt on.
Yeah. Seriously.
And stop it.
Yeah.
Put a hood on that engine, big boy. Come on.
I wanted to talk briefly.
Well, and you know what? Oh, just okay. Before he, as a guy who can be fairly angry on a regular basis, mm-hmm. Nothing coming to mind right at this moment. Because a lot of shit bothers me.
Yeah. I know that about you.
Like daily.
Yeah.
Right now I'm gapping.
Okay.
Feeling strong.
Well, you'll let us know.
Feeling peaceful.
Something.
Yeah, no, for sure. Tune into the next show.
Actually, I had the majority of a whiplash put together last week, and you became the problem. As per. I think I mentioned this on the last Unforced Errors podcast. For those of you who caught that, it's at tallcanaudio.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
It was the shambles of an audio whiplash?
We probably had 20 to 25 minutes worth of mediocre podcast put together while we were sitting on the train coming home from Montreal. And there's Amy Burke is sitting along with us, who's been on the show a number of times. There's Kyle is sitting with us. He's a little quiet. I think he'd had a rough night the night before. But throughout the conversation, there's a lot of... As some finicky douchebag on the other side of the table cannot stop first pounding on the table and then stop pounding and tapping on his beer and ding, 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 ding. Like, could you just stop? Because that microphone.
Who do you think that would be?
Yeah. I think I already spoiled that part of it by saying, you ruined it.
All right.
It was going to be a bad show anyway, but I could have felt less guilty about not putting one out last week. Yeah, that was, I don't understand why you can't just. Well, you can't just sit still. You're always fidgeting.
That's fidgeting, not finicky, because I can be finicky.
Yeah.
But I am always.
Yeah, fidgety. And I probably said it 2 or 3 times, like, hey, stop it. Stop for like 90 seconds. It's like dealing with a 4-year-old in some regards, yeah. Which then started across the aisle, and that totally ruined any
because it doesn't. Chance of, it's plagued me all my life.
Okay.
The unwillingness to consider what other people are asking. That doesn't faze me.
No.
I don't care about that.
We're going to put out...
There's no reason to not...
A tall can audio. There is a reason to not. It's ruining the audio.
No. That's what I'm saying. There's no reason to not go, yeah, all right. I hear what you're saying and I'll stop doing it. But I'm like, yeah, all right.
Fuck you.
No, I'm not. No, it's worse than that, I think. Yeah. It's like, yeah, all right, okay. And then it's gone. It's like, poof. All right. I didn't really commit to it mentally.
Right.
I said I would do it.
Yeah. I think we're going to put out a TCA t-shirt that on the back says, yeah, I don't care about that.
Yeah. Well, that's.
That and maybe a blank line. Like, you folks at home can write whatever you want on that line. Yeah, I don't care about that.
The line's going to be on top.
Yes.
Blank.
Yeah.
I don't care about that. That is, and it is said like that. It's got to be like that.
Yeah.
I don't care about that.
Like, yeah, because it's legit. It's not like when someone insults you and you're like, I don't care. No, this is genuine. Rob does not care about that thing you're talking about. And he's shrugging it off.
And it may be you.
For sure. It multiple times it has been today.
No, not you.
Could be me.
No, I care greatly about you. I don't want anyone to get the idea.
Yeah, I don't care about that.
That I don't. I love you, man. Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about
uncomfortably
strippers? Do you love strippers?
I do not love strippers.
Yeah, and I think we may have touched on that before. But last week, the Super Bowl was held in the city of Atlanta.
Hotlanta.
Apparently known for its strip clubs younger and hipper than us.
It's known for clubs of all varieties.
Yeah, yeah.
I was in a transvestite club in Atlanta at one point.
Yeah. Purely by accident, I'm sure. What is this for? Well, I'm in now. I paid my $4 cover, I guess. I'm here.
Bring me those 6 more beers. Yes, anyways.
Mister.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Buddy.
Buddy.
Z, I think they like to go by.
I don't think they do. So apparently, anyway, there's a piece, and I know that this is normally a publication we recommend more during Tall Can Sports, but in The Athletic, that referenced all kinds of statistics and numbers for how many out-of-town strippers were coming into town for Super Bowl week. Now, as we've mentioned, the Super Bowl is known for, or excuse me, Atlanta is known for bringing in a pile of, or already, motherfucker, Atlanta is already known for having a number of clubs, a pile of strip clubs. It's sort of part of their culture. And they mentioned in this article that it's a thing, like that women go and whatever. So this was probably bigger than usual.
How do you feel with that?
That women go?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You ever gone to a strip club with a woman?
Yeah. But it was more, there was a strip club across the road, essentially, like a block away from where our house was in Belleville.
You've been to multiple strip joints with multiple women then?
Yeah?
Yep. All right. Look at you. So you're clearly good with it.
No, I'm fine with them going, but more often than not, when we went to this one in Belleville near our house, like first
Bell
of all,
Vegas
rarely
for all
the
you other
A
homes.
Entertainment, but it was as much part of, like, there's only four bars here. It was just kind of part of the rotation, and yeah, you'd look up at the stage, and yeah, you'd notice that there were women dancing, but it was rarely the draw. It was just
when you were feeling flush.
One of the few bars that
beers
was open.
Are twice as much.
Well, yeah, there was that,
and it served a great Sunday morning buffet breakfast.
Yeah, for sure. We've talked about that on this show before. Always had one buddy every Saturday night at like 2 in the morning. Go breakfast tomorrow. Who's in? And every Sunday, like, ah, fuck, I'm not going. Hungover as fuck and whatever. Anyway, there were so few bars that often you'd end up there for a couple of beers and sometimes the girls would be with you. It wasn't like a big thing. And then there was another group that were like, look how okay with this I am. Aren't I cool? Right? Like those types of women where it was just like,
yep,
shut up. Right? Like, it'd be better if you actually weren't here.
Yeah. It'd be better if you were cool at a distance.
Right.
From a distance.
Way to go, bet. So I don't have a problem with women going. It just do or don't. But it they made it sound like it's like going to a Denny's in Atlanta, right? Like your grandparents go.
Yeah, I think it's an IHOP though in Atlanta.
Sure, yeah. So apparently the city gets flooded with them and they all have to go, and this was the part that stood out to me, you all have to go get a license. The same place you would go get like your permit for.
Yeah, it's a city office.
Yeah.
And I was kind of taken aback by 250 bones.
Yeah. For nothing.
Well,
a piece of paper that says you can dance naked somewhere.
Topless. I'm not even sure they take their bottoms off.
No, they can. At this, in certain states, you can. Certain ones, you can't. But
okay.
These bars, I guess they're allowed to kind of choose which type you want to be, and then they'll decide when and where you're going to dance.
Well, and like any other industry, right? The Super Bowl brings with it where there are large volumes of transient males coming in and out.
Well, this is what I wanted to bring up or ask you about. Like, I was sort of taken aback by this. Like, I'm not surprised at all that during Super Bowl week, Atlanta strip clubs are full of men who are in town to party. You bringing in, like, you're trucking in strippers from the Midwest? Like,
yeah.
How many more do you need? It's naked women. Yeah. Like,
no, they're coming in.
You have your own?
They're coming in from Florida and Louisiana and Georgia. Well, that's
going. A shame.
Georgia is Atlanta. Sorry. Yeah. That's all in that sort of, you got to bring them in.
Right, I guess.
Northern Florida.
And I guess part of
its feelers.
City permits was like, you're only allowed to work 27 hours a day. Or 27 hours a week.
See,
that's not a hard
nobody's
work week.
Nobody's adhering to that.
Come on.
Okay, but who, again, I drew up the schedule, Matt. You're working Tuesday. From 1 to 4
PM.
In the afternoon.
Yeah, for sure I am. If not earlier.
If you haven't seen Kingpin, right, where the Amish guy ends up in the strip joint, all dressed in drag. Hilarious.
I have seen that one.
Yeah, not attractive in any way.
No.
Jeff Daniels.
Yeah.
I am not a big fan. To me, strip joints, they reek of desperation, both on both the the men's
the dancers
part,
and the men.
And, yeah, more the men.
Yeah.
Right? The ones who are, you're like, man, stay at home and watch porn like everybody else. Like, let's not make contact. I don't want my despair to spill over onto somebody else.
What about any wiggle room on the bachelor party front?
Totally.
Yeah.
I don't love it. I've been on a couple of bachelor parties, two strip joints.
Yeah.
That's the only time I'll go, actually.
Right.
I had a couple of buddies when we were young, right? It'd be the end of the evening and be like, psh, cross to the Quebec side, to the Rippers, right? And you'd go.
Pig Owls or something.
Yeah, over to the Pink Panther.
Yeah.
Now called Le Pink.
I like that name way better.
Yeah.
Come in and see Le Pink.
Yeah. So to me, I never loved it, right? I would always try and shoot it down. Let's do this. Let's do that. No, let's not do that. I don't want to go and pay twice as much for my drinks.
Is that your biggest beef? Because there's usually also a cover charge. And then, yeah, the beers are overpriced for your bottle of Coors Light or whatever you're getting as you walk in.
Coors Light.
Yeah, probably. And at that point,
I'm waiting for the $2 Jello shooters. That's it.
Like, when we talk about how we used to go to the Go-Go in Belleville, there was only one guy who was ever pulling to go sit in Perv Row. Everyone else was go in kind of one of the back corners or whatever. You're still there to rip beers. Yes, obviously you're noticing the naked woman dancing around. And,
yeah, you're
and
not
whatever.
Hating that. And, no. And again, I am not against naked women.
No, right. So, but it was, it like I said, it felt more like it was part of the bar rotation than the draw of the stripper because you were in such a small town.
Well, close to home.
Right. And I've never been... I've been to the strippers once or twice here in Ottawa. Both times was a bachelor party, but there's enough bars and pubs here that it doesn't have to be.
Yeah,
there's nowhere else to go drink.
So,
right?
So many. Like, yeah. I get it.
So, but again, if I was going down with the guys to the Super Bowl, I could see that being like a bachelor party kind of
for
week,
sure.
Right?
Well,
like where
it,
you roll
it,
in.
It is one of those, you know, not every weekend kind of scenarios, right?
Yeah.
You're out and this is an event.
Yeah. All right. I was just curious because I know we've talked before and you were somewhat anti-stripper in your approach, but apparently they're trucking them in for wherever the Super Bowl is and it becomes a huge thing. And it really just felt like a cash grab. $250 to dance in Atlanta is just, well, if they're all coming here, we're going to get a piece of them.
Well, and the strippers are saying that the money, they're making 10 times that.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. I think the one woman said it was like 15 grand for the week she was expecting to pull down.
Yeah, but they were saying on average, yeah, between 3 and 4 grand.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some high-end places. There's some much lower. I know you didn't get a chance to read the full article, and we'll share it at facebook.com/TallCanAudio, at TallCanAudio on Twitter, that like there are more like, they called them like natural women clubs where you kind of know what you're getting into, right? They're not looking for the 9s and 10s. It's any woman who wants to do this can do this. And a retired stripper was called who was interviewed for this piece. And the owner of that club had said, we need more old women to come in. I think she was 67. She said,
okay.
Everybody's got a kink, man, I guess, right?
Well, like, okay. And you've seen, you know, we've done enough porn stuff on this show.
Yeah.
Right. That, I'm always amazed when you go, where's that hit coming from?
Right.
How is that rising so high? Like
right.
The whole slamming granny and the fanny thing. Like, where's that? Like, who's going in for that? But clearly.
Do you think iTunes is going to let that through the show title? I hope not.
Why not? But you see, with the rise of, and where I thought you were going with, and I didn't read the second half of the article.
For leisure.
With the rise of the whole MILF thing.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, you have a population which likes attractive older women. Now, to me, that means 40s.
Right.
Right? Not necessarily.
Yeah, I think we talked about this on here before,
retirees.
Too.
Retirees.
Does MILF mean actually has to be a mom, or is MILF an age group?
Yeah, it's
right?
an age. It's absolutely
like
an age group.
38 to
exactly.
Whatever, right? Like, and I think that's true. But it's interesting that this is a woman who's already decided my best days are long behind me. I should stop. And someone phoned her to say there is a demand for what you would provide right now, right? In your 60s.
Bolster up your Hooters and get in here. Slap your granny panties
on. I don't know who that kink is, right? Like, even old men that are coming down for the Super Bowl aren't coming for women who look like their wives, right? Like, if you're going to the strippers, you're probably going to see the one who's probably just finishing paying her way through college. Don't you think?
No, for absolutely.
So it's weird, man.
Yeah, no, the 67-year-old stripper isn't for the 67-year-old man.
Right.
That's no thing.
Right.
He does want to see the young and sure. the firm.
The young and the firm.
Yeah, there's no guesswork there. Right. That's happening.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, if your city's hosting the Super Bowl in the near future.
And they were also talking about, and I went from that article to a bunch of other ones, the illegal sex trade as well. Doing a huge booming business.
And that was referenced towards the end of this article as well, that they interviewed an Atlanta cop, again, where the Super Bowl just was, and he says, we believe that in most, if not all, strip clubs, there is illegal sex work going on.
Absolutely.
This isn't the week to worry about it, which was a fascinating take from us.
Yeah, well, I got so much shit to do.
That's probably true, right? The amount of things going on at 3 in the morning in Atlanta on Super Bowl weekend is probably... whatever, somebody's just getting off in the back of that.
I'm not worried about a hand job right. in the back of the club.
Right.
Or whatever else is happening. Consenting and adults and all.
Presumably.
Because we certainly don't condone.
We condone a lot of shit, but not that.
Any sex trafficking.
Sorry, I cut you off there with you were referencing that sex work apparently goes through the roof on.
Yeah, well, and so to me, and that is as seedy or as desperate as I feel stripping is. Yeah, it's, you know, if I'm running my own personal business as an upscale escort, like I do, that's one thing, right? Which, hey, that to me is, this is what I have. I'm going to sell my body.
Yeah.
But I'm doing it. I'm my own business
I've
person.
I've come to terms with it. This is what I do.
Right. It's the other end, right, where you have the sex trafficking, right?
Yeah.
You are bringing people in and you're forcing them to work on you know, against their will.
Right.
That's also huge in all Super Bowl weeks. So the number of busts that go down with that.
See, that's troubling, right? Like,
well, to me, the two things go hand in hand, right?
I don't know why that is.
Well, because kink is kink, right? And whatever you have going on, when is it enough? And when is it become no longer enough that you need something more?
But there's a difference between a bunch of rich guys who save up and save up and save up to go see their team in the Super Bowl and go watch naked women dance on the Saturday night beforehand to buying whatever, who might have been brought across the border or who is too young or whatever might be right under someone else's control. Those things don't necessarily have to go hand in hand.
Yep.
Do you think it's just the collection of people?
I think it's
we're
like
bringing this many people to town.
It's like anything else, right? You've talked about it right now. Tastes, oddities, right? You bring a large enough crowd.
Yeah.
Everybody has their own different.
It's funny to think how many people come to. I read a different article that said Atlanta was expecting. And more so the general Atlanta area was expecting something in the neighborhood of over 200,000 guests to come into town that weekend.
Big shout out to Buckhead.
For a stadium that holds 70,000 people.
Yeah.
Like, so where are all these? Apparently a certain number of them are strippers and whores. But where's everybody else going? What are you doing that weekend? You're just here for the party, I guess.
I'm waiting around, man. I'm seeing what shakes loose.
I don't know, man. We were around Grey Cup week here in Ottawa. Didn't look like a lot of extra strippers and whores. Looked like a lot of people in parkas and...
Yeah, well, it's a big difference between, Atlanta. It was strange. Atlanta in early February and Ottawa in late November.
For
sure. Christ, it was cold.
It really was. So, I don't know. Something for the Grey Cup
party. If there
was
going to be strippers and whores, it was going to be at Ryderville. I'm telling you right now.
I don't know. The shitty Winnipeg party that Maddie and I went to looked like It could have been some 60-year-old women getting ready to dance there, but who knows?
All right. Well,
good for you, Blue Bombers.
That's friendly Manitoba for you right there.
Yeah. The other thing I think we were going to touch on was, and I know you haven't had a chance to see it yet, and if those of you listening are like Rob and haven't had the chance, on Netflix right now is a documentary called, I think it's just called Fire, The Festival That Never Was.
The Best Party That Never Happened.
That's whatever. You'll find it.
Hey, and we touched on Fire Festival.
We did.
Right here on Audio Whiplash about a year ago, probably.
Yeah, and we'll share the link to that show as well as to what went down. But essentially, it was a festival weekend, the getaway of a lifetime. And it was supposed to be held on a private island in the Bahamas. And
that used to be owned by Pablo Escobar.
Yeah, and Ja Rule was
Ja Rule
helping to promote this thing with a guy named Billy McFarlane. And this thing, this documentary.
It's in the Bahamas.
Yeah. Right,
under the jurisdiction of the Bahamas, I believe.
Right. Now, what comes out in the documentary is that, yes, they initially had leased Pablo Escobar's island to throw this, and it would have probably worked. Pablo Escobar's slew of lawyers said, you cannot mention that this is his island. And the next day, that was the sole thing they were promoting was, we don't have any acts yet. We don't have any band. It's going to be the getaway of a lifetime on Pablo Escobar's island. And they went, yeah, get the fuck out. And that was the first problem was, it wasn't his island anymore by the time this came around. It right. had to be moved. And
see, that's not selling it to me. There may be a danger effect to that, but I'm not interested in that.
No. So it goes in depth on how this thing never gets off the ground, how the bands start backing out, how these villas that they're promising you're going to have are essentially just tents that are gross and muddy. And
yeah, and you got to go pick them up at this central hub where it's just a big pile of shit.
Yeah.
You got to grab.
The trucks come from the airport and just throw this giant pile of bags. You don't know where your luggage and shit. It was a disaster. And the documentary, like I said, is on Netflix. Well worth your time. Fire is spelled F-Y-R-E because, you know, cool kids. But you'll find it. It's always right now on like the new releases and stuff. Well worth a watch. And the main reason I bring it up here is because it is something that we talked about before and how this thing fell apart. But the sheer degree with which this was never going to happen. He never had the money. This guy is selling, first of all, to be able to get the money to pay big name acts, he's selling the idea of Pablo Escobar's island. Get you to pay for that so he can then take that money and try and find some acts. He doesn't have them yet. He gets the act and now he's like, oh fuck, we're out of money again. We don't have anywhere for these people to shit when they get here. We don't have any food or water. So now, oh, let's sell wristbands. Put all your money on your wristband, right? And they do that at lots of concert festivals, right? Like right here at Blues Fest here in town, you go ahead of time and all your tickets are on your wristband. And if you want, you can put food and booze on there too. And it's like a touch thing when you get there, right? Yep. You have this much money on it. So if he can get everybody to put their money on these wristbands, he's now got that money to try and finish building the fucking facility that's going to host the thing. And we're talking about days in advance. And this goes on to find out that none of the contractors or workers in the Bahamas were ever paid. Most of the acts never were given the, you know, these are our technical requirements, even for Blink 182 to put on a concert, right? We need this minimum setup to make it. Don't have that. Don't have. And the documentary just goes into, and it actually shows all these thousand, well, I don't want to exaggerate. I don't remember the number, but hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of spoiled rich kids who could afford to do this thing on private jets into this island in the Bahamas, and them showing up, and people are taking cell phone video like you do now of them pulling up to where this thing is supposed to be. And it's just being all these shitty little tents and people bursting into tears and crying and being like abandoned on this island, right? Like there's nothing here. You just basically spent thousands of dollars to get on a plane to the middle of a fucking beach in the Bahamas with nothing on it. You can't, nowhere to sleep, no show, no food, no money. Fuck, man. And that there is a part of me that was looking at this the exact same way, laughing my ass off, right? But all these people trusted that this concert promoter was going to put on a...
Well, and I'm laughing at the way you sold it.
Well,
like how all these soft, very soft
people. That's what they
people,
were.
Yeah, rolling up there and going, this is the first bit of adversity
yes.
I've ever had to face in my life. And again, as you say, now I'm stranded here with no food and water
right.
and no place to have a, you know, sanitary shit.
Right.
That is adverse situations.
For sure.
And so you go, well, the last adversity I had was I didn't have a nail file for 3 days.
The butler took a long weekend or something.
And now I have no place to eat, sleep, or
right.
you know, any potable water.
So one of the things that got people talking about this was they paid what are called influencers, right, on Instagram or on social media to take a picture or upload a video saying, I'm going to Firefest, right? And this would be weeks or months ahead of time. And, well, if these popular Instagram people
see
are going.
See Firefest.
Yeah, I'll go. And so they are, these influencers are the first people to arrive. And there's no mansions. There's no beachside villa. There's no. And so people are, these influencers are now uploading videos to say, this is not what I was promised. This is a disaster. And there's other people who were at the thing that are interviewed saying, we got this while we were sitting at Miami airport ready to board our charter going, do we still get on? Blink 182 just canceled. Are we still doing this? They've got our money. They got it. Do we still go? And I keep referencing Blink 182. They were one of two or three big name
for
acts,
sure.
But they backed out, I think, on the Thursday night, is my recollection. And this whole thing just was built on a house of cards that just completely fell apart all at the last minute. And I don't want to spoil the documentary, so I won't. But he obviously, the promoter, ends up in legal trouble. And while he's out on probation, starts building his next house of cards, essentially, yes. That's well worth looking at. Like, this is how I'll pay down my legal fees is with this.
Because I'm going to strike it rich here.
This new scheme. Fuck. Man, this whole thing is going to go down as...
Well, and you're missing to me the most intriguing part.
Sure.
Which was one of the producers or whatever the guy
oh, yeah,
was.
Yeah.
Who said, they said, hey, if you go, and this is a man, if you go and you blow.
And like a 60-year-old man.
Yes. You blow the Bahamian.
Like import minister.
Import export minister.
Yeah.
We can get our shipment of Evian water in.
Yeah.
But maybe if you blew him. It would be a go.
Yes.
And he's like, all right, I'll do it. I showed up at the office willing to blow this guy.
Yeah. No, it's true. And like I said, this is a 60-year-old man who's interviewed on this documentary saying this. And you're right. That is one of the reasons I wanted to bring this up was it was another thing, right? Like we need $100,000 in tax money before we release your water or whatever. And Billy McFarland, the promoter, sends this gay guy who's helping to organize it over and go, if you blow him, I think he'll let the water out. And he's like, And he's selling them like everybody sells anything in some sort of cult, right? Like, this is your chance to really do something for what we're trying to do here.
Yeah. Well, and looking at the guy, he looks like, I don't know, just a regular 60-year-old guy.
Yeah. And so he says he drives over there willing to do it. And
so he said, I showed up there totally willing to blow this guy. Like,
and
what?
And in the actual documentary, when you see this interview, he says, but the guy says that, you know, if you promise that we'll be the first people to get paid once everyone starts to show up and this works, I'll release the water. You don't have to do this.
You don't have to blow me.
And it kind of sounds like the guy's like, but if I just blow you, could we?
Yes. Well,
so go ahead.
No. And he's just saying, you know, that there's memes being released.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of things. He's like He's a verb, he's an adjective, he's a noun.
And we'll share that article without having to watch the documentary in all our usual places here. But yeah, the headline of the article is Fire Festival co-organizer doesn't want to be known as the blowjob king. Which is fair. I don't think anyone.
And everyone, I looked at him and went, king?
Yeah. Look at you, buddy. Bragger.
Yeah, right? Honestly.
But, yeah, like this became a huge thing because the documentary has become so big.
And he is an out, an M.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Man. No, everyone knew he was gay, but yeah. still not a
I'm
great
just saying,
look.
It's not like me or you going, all right. If this is going to make it happen.
Yeah, I didn't know you were filming this.
Yeah.
Documentary.
Right. Yeah. On the strictly on the DL. Right. We don't want to get away on this.
So, yeah, like I said, we'll share that article, but this documentary became so much bigger than anyone predicted. And it's, like I said, it's like the number one recommended thing on Netflix now that all of a sudden it's nothing. It's a throwaway 40-second clip in this long documentary of holy fuck kind of facts. But now it blows up, and this 60-year-old guy is the only part of it that people remember. And he was going to suck a dick to get some water.
All right. He's like, oh, man. Who knew that many people were going to watch it?
Exactly. No, oh, man, well. It's something. It's worth checking out the doc if for no other reason than that 40 seconds, I guess.
Well, and the guy's last name is King.
Yeah.
His name is Andy
Blowjob
King.
King.
So that's where the King part comes sure. from, right?
I still think it's a little presumptuous. But
for sure it is. Emperor of blowjobs.
Oh, there you go. Czar.
Czar is always my
czar.
It's my go-to.
Oh, now it's going to be tough to pick a title for this. I think we'll wind this down, this episode of Audio Whiplash. Rob is off on another jet-setting, beautiful weekend here coming up.
Man, so I'm all over the place. I'm everywhere.
He may not be around on Sunday, but we'll try and get another one of these out for you in the next week or two.
We'll see what we can do.
Yeah, for sure. In the meantime, let's shut this one down. You can give us a follow on Twitter at TallCanAudio, Facebook.com/TallCanAudio, Patreon, Instagram, all that stuff under the same name, man. Makes good sense. Until then.
See ya.
Yeah, that.
I am unhappy with the confusing and at times confrontational nature of that meeting. I wanted it to go better. I wanted it to go better!
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at TallCanAudio.com or by searching TallCan Audio on your favorite podcast app. When you say TallCan Audio a lot, it starts to sound weird.